From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we hear today, right before today's gospel reading for today, we hear the Pharisees and the scribes groveling. They said, look at those disciples of our Lord as they eat with sinners. And then they're groveling again at the beginning of our text today as they said, you know, these disciples of our Lord, they don't pray. They don't fast often. But instead, they said, our Lord's disciples ate and drank like good Lutherans. And they go, what's going on? Offering of prayers and fasting had really have been part of the faith since the Old Testament times. It is part of the faith, and so in this way, you can understand why the Pharisees and scribes would have a problem with our Lord's disciples. Why don't they pray and fast often? But like many occasions, they didn't get the point of prayer and fasting. And of course, this is true in our own day, about what prayer is all about or fasting. For in prayer has different meanings today, and has people have so many different ideas of what prayer, perhaps at times we have lost the point of what prayer is all about. A common example I've given in the past about prayer is a time where I was a pastor up in Minneapolis. I got a phone call from one of my parishioners and said that one of my other parishioners went to the hospital and is now in the emergency room. So I jump in my car, I get out to the hospital, I run into the emergency room, and I pray with my parishioner, and as I saw it, he was at this point stable within the emergency room. And then I went out to the family who was out in the waiting room, and I sat down with them and prayed, and we talked for a little while. But then all of a sudden, as we're talking at this point, somebody put their hand on my knee, and I thought, who in the world is this? So I turned, and it was a nurse. And so she said, Pastor Dreyer, she said, there's a family in need of you. They had just lost their grandpa. Could you go and speak with this family? And I checked with the family I was with, and they said, yes, Pastor, please go help the other family. So I walk, and I go into this other big room, and here are all these people that line this big room, namely the family. And the nurse kind of explained before I entered the room what the situation was. Basically, this grandpa lived with his daughter and family. And then grandpa was coming down the steps, and one of the kids left a toy on the steps. Grandpa stepped on the toy, grandpa fell back, hit his head, and died instantly. Well, the dad, kind of hysteric at this point, runs over to his children and tells his children, why did you leave your toys on the steps? At this point, the children said, we killed grandpa. And it was a little bit, it was very difficult for them to handle this. So I spoke to the children and gave them some sense of comfort. And then I and the daughter of the grandpa walked into the room where grandpa was laying on the bed in the hospital room. And the mom turned to me and said, Pastor Dreyer, my daughter said she prayed that grandpa would live, but yet grandpa had died. Doesn't God answer prayers? Now remember, this daughter, this mother's daughter, thought she killed grandpa, and so she was really stressed by this whole point. What would you say to this mother to tell her daughter about her prayer? Would you go and say to the daughter, tell the daughter, saying, "Well, daughter, if you really had strong enough faith, if you truly believed when you prayed, grandpa would have lived." Would you tell her that? Or perhaps you would go tell your daughter, if you asked a whole mess of people to pray for your grandpa that he would live, and the more people you got, the more you could bully God and change God's mind, perhaps then your grandpa would have lived. There are these examples and many others where we find when we see prayer that is really centered upon our own efforts, our own piety, our own supposed strong faith, or the mass of people that we ask to pray for someone else. When prayer is founded in our own selves, in our own piety, this is a matter of sin. When our prayers are ground ourselves or this world, and when their prayers are not centered upon the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Such prayer grounded in ourselves becomes an empty plea in the face of our sin and our own failures, crying out to God in desperation. Have you ever done that? Have you really screwed up in life and you prayed Kyrie eleison? You're sitting there praying, and like Asaph in Psalm 77, you felt that God may be of some distance, that your prayers in their own way seem somewhat empty in a crisis that you're at in your life, and you're praying out to God, and you're wondering, what can I do? And many people say, do I really believe? Do I really have enough faith? But prayer is not centered upon ourselves, but fundamentally, prayer is a confession. It is a confession of that faith and life which has been won through us through Jesus Christ. This is why the first time you hear prayer in the catechism is under the second commandment. It is an act of confession. Pray, praise, and give thanks of that life which we have once received as we live with fear, love, and trusting in God above all things. Yes, perhaps you could tell the mother, your daughter's prayers were answered. Your grandpa was a baptized Christian, and all who die in the Lord have eternal life in Christ, and we can find comfort in this. Christian prayer is not meant to offer uncertainty, draw attention to us and our own efforts, but to Christ and the promises of life and salvation in the person of Jesus. In reading on fasting in the Old New Testament, one would find, like in today's passage, that prayer and fasting are often together. Fasting is not merely from fasting from food, but from things that distract our attention from God in Christ Jesus. What could this be? Our circumstances in life, food, school, jobs, relationship, material goods, judgments from other people in our lives, instead of that ultimate judgment that comes from God that says your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Yes, fasting indeed is fine outward training as echoed in the catechism, but is done as a discipline, valuing a focus upon Christ and all he has done for us and for our salvation. Indeed, this is in fact fasting. By taking our eyes off the things of this world, we can turn our attention to Christ like we do in prayer. In the passage today, our Lord's disciples were in a very unique situation. Christ was with them in the flesh. It is like being at the sacrament of the altar for the whole day. It was a joyful occasion like being at a wedding feast. When one is at a banquet feast, one does not fast, but one gorges himself with good food and good drink. So our Lord says today, can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? So indeed, fasting is fine outward training. But when the faithful baptized come from their wandering in the desert of life, when temptation and their struggles from their prayer and fasting, they finally come into the unique bodily presence of our Lord, to the sacrament, wearing wedding garments marked by the blood of the Lamb without spot or wrinkle. It is a time for the new wine. It is time to feast. It is time to give thanks and rejoice, for our Lord is with us, for salvation has come unto us. So let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise now for the Benedictus.